This is Authors Alcove, where writers learn from writers. Readers get the inside scoop, and everyone learns something. An episode comes out every Wednesday where writers share their latest work, every other Tuesday where us writers get taught by such experts as editors, book cover artists, and marketing execs, and beyond. So grab a cup of coffee, and let's dive into our next book. Welcome to Authors Alcove. I am your host, Agnes Wolf. Today, I have young adult author Michael Xavier Boggins. He is the author of Antiquity and Gift of the Golden Pearl. He began his story creating career while his children traveled from their mom's to his house every other weekend for, I believe, 2 hours. And today we will be talking about what it's like to write young adult fiction, finding inspiration, and the editing and publishing process. So thank you so much for joining us, Michael. How are you today?
I'm fine. It's nice to be here, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Well, first, could you just share a little bit about yourself and what got you into the writing world?
Yeah, I mean, you had alluded to it, but I really grew up kind of being more of a numbers guy. I have a degree in engineering, and now I'm a bean counter, believe it or not. But anyway, the reason I mentioned that is because when I was going through a divorce, I would travel a long way to pick up my kids, and so we could have weekends together. And to make it a little easier on them, I used to make up stories. And when on occasion other adults were with me traveling, they would tell me, "Hey man, you got to write those down," because they really liked them. So I started that process several years ago of writing these stories down. And those were my first two books. I also have a blog. But what I like about it is it allows me to use that creative side of my brain. Not that there's not creative in math, but it's a different kind of creative. And so I really enjoy it.
What people find interesting is that I've always loved writing, but I actually teach math. I teach algebra and geometry. So, okay. I do that online now. So both Antiquity and Gift of the Golden Pearl are young adult genres. Why have you chosen to write in that particular genre?
Well, I've always liked it when kids, I call them kids or young adults, take on challenges and see things through, no matter how difficult the things that come their way are. And I just enjoy that and seeing them overcome. And so that's a lot of why I like to write this way. And as naive as it sounds, I do feel like they are the ones who can change the world. And I know it sounds cliche, but I really believe that. And I feel like if we give them a chance, you know, despite all the hardship and difficulty in the world, they can make a difference. My kids are. They work hard and they really try to do things the right way. And I like to think that maybe my stories kind of inspire them to do just that.
I actually love the high school age group. That is what I've taught. I've taught both history and math in the high school age group. And I just love to hear them think, especially when I was teaching them history, because they, you know, you can ask them questions that you would ask an adult, and they actually are quite intelligent at that age, and they're really able to think things out. So yes, I actually find myself drawn to that particular age group as well. So one of the themes that you write about is good versus evil. What draws you to that particular theme?
Well, I feel that even though evil gets a much bigger billing in our world, I feel like in whole, the universe is by far loving and caring, and good will always win out. We don't see it very often, but I do believe that. And I like to give good its due. I like to show the challenges of overcoming evil, but I feel like it'll win out in the end. And I like to write about that and show that.
I think that's so true. I think we often focus so much on the negative, but I feel like our world, specifically, you know, like if you believe in God, then that God redeems those bad things, or the universe, as some people say. Right. But what do you find difficult about writing for the young adults age group?
Well, one of the biggest challenges I have is making dialogue sound real. And I think I still have a lot to learn about it, but to make it sound like people really talking, especially of that age group, you know, making it authentic and making it flow, making it humorous, making it serious when it's. And I think that probably other authors have a real knack for that, and maybe it comes naturally, but it's a little harder for me, and I'll go over and kind of grind on it and try to, you know, make it well. I'll ask my kids because they're, you know, of that age, and they'll give me pointers. I'll read other authors and how they approached it so that I can get better at it. But that's one of the things that challenges me.
It's kind of interesting because the episode that came out today is actually about how to write engaging dialogue. I had interviewed Rob Bignell. He's a developmental editor. But that's something that it just kind of interesting that you brought that up. But anyway, do you mind, you know, you wrote The Gift of the Golden Pearl. Could you just share the basic plot of that without giving away any spoilers?
I happened to be sitting at the beach one day. And like I always like to say in my books, you know, I felt inspired by the author of all things. And I started thinking about the gnarly questions in life and what it would be like to have some of those answered. And so it kind of took off from there as a pearl that is given as a gift that has a special power that allows the possessor of it to be able to answer questions, any questions, important questions, basic questions, but that gave me a vehicle to try to ask some of those gnarly questions and answer them, at least in the way that I felt they should be answered. And so that's sort of the premise of it, but that leads to, because you can imagine there'd be a lot of people in this world who would like to have questions answered that maybe would give them advantage. And so it leads to a lot of drama and some challenges that the kids have to overcome, the young adults have to overcome in the story.
You mentioned that one of your inspirations is the author of all things. Do your books have any spiritual connotations?
Yes, they do. Metaphysical, spiritual. Yes, they do. I like writing about that. That maybe goes back to the good and evil. And I like to combine that in with it and kind of look at it sort of non-denominational, but just sort of as from a universal perspective. But certainly, yes.
What was your inspiration behind Gift of the Golden Pearl?
Well, like I say, I felt like the story just came to me when I was sitting there and I had my laptop on the beach and I just started writing. And so that inspiration was really, you know, how can I fold in the idea of answering difficult questions and make it into a story that would allow these young adults to face serious challenges and fight it out together and come out on the other side.
Did you have a favorite character while writing The Gift of Golden Pearl?
You know, I liked all of them, but one of them that I really liked was this kind of loner codger guy who I named Houston. And the reason I like him is because he was like a hermit. Yeah, that's how the story started out. But with the love and the kindness and the other characters in the story, when they kind of drag him into the story because they need his help, he starts to realize again what love can do and what having value can do. You know, everybody needs that. And it changes his life and it changes the lives of the characters.
I think that I'm often drawn to that as well. Like one of my all-time favorite stories, and I'm currently reading it to my seven-year-old, is The Secret Garden. And I think it's that evolving person, that person who doesn't realize that there's joy in the world and somehow finds it along the way.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good one. And I think that, of course, Dickens' famous Christmas tale is a classic redemption story. So yeah.
Definitely. So what was the hardest part of writing for you?
You know, I work a full-time job and I work a lot of hours. And so I do my writing in the evening when I come home. And when I'm really worn out, I sometimes feel like the last thing I want to do is to open my laptop and to start trying to put something together. But I made a commitment all those years ago that I started that it doesn't matter how much you write, just write that one word. Just open that and put a word down. And usually it leads to a paragraph or two or some other things, you know, just by getting going, getting that one thing going. So that's what I've always tried to do. And it's helped me.
This, you might have just answered this particular question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What do you think is the most important habit of a writer?
That, to me, to keep it going no matter what you're facing. If I can jump to another question that was on my list, when you get stuck, you know, what do you do when you get stuck? And one of the things that I like to do is I put on my jacket if it's cold, or I just get out there when it's nice and I start walking. And it's amazing to me that walking and how it can clear your head and it'll open doors to other ways to approach stories or an angle in the story that you've been having difficulty with. And so that's what I like to do. I just get out there and start walking, and then I get back and I give it a shot. Does it work every single time? No, but it's amazing how many times it does.
I think one of the things that we often forget about writing is that it's not just writing the story. We have to then edit it, publish it, and then market it. Those are very key parts. How do you approach the editing part?
Well, I try not to get too hung up with the editing process when I'm feeling like there's flow going and I'm being creative and I'm not stuck. So I'll often just get the concepts down, get the story going, and then I'll go back and sharpen my pencil, so to speak, and clean it up and do some editing to try to, you know, make it sound more like I want it to sound.
And did you know, there's a lot of different ways that we can publish. We can do the self-publishing, the traditional publishing, and then there's hybrid. What was your experience and how did you choose to publish your books?
Well, being a total greenhorn on this, I didn't know how to go about it. I mean, I reached out to some traditional, I guess you would say, publishing houses, and that's like, forget it. Just this, I mean, an unknown person just writing them like probably a million people do. You know, I didn't really expect to hear back, but I thought I would try that, and I really didn't get very far. And so one day, it was a nice summer day, I was sitting by a swimming pool in my neighborhood, and I just started on my phone looking for how do you go about it. And I ran across 1106 Design, and they got a lot of great ratings on the site I was reading. And so I reached out and contacted them, and that's the self-publishing route. They shepherd you through the process though, in such a, at least I found, such a caring and helpful way. They take you from the beginning to an end, to the end, and help you edit, design the cover, do all the work on the inside. It's just amazing. And they've been really helpful. And I would encourage people to reach out to somebody like that or even someone else, but I have found that there are some, I'll call them charlatans as well, that, you know, seem to want to take advantage of authors and not really provide them much. And so to kind of come back around to your question, I chose the self-publishing route with the help of these professionals who really made a difference.
For both of your books?
Yes, for both of them. I went back to 1106 Design because the experience was so good.
That's awesome. So from when you first contact them with specifically your first book to when they actually had it available to customer or to readers, how long was that period?
Let's see. I'm trying to think. I'm going to say that it was in the neighborhood of 3 to 4 months. And some of that falls on the author, you know, being responsive and getting things done. And it is difficult because, you know, when you're going like through the editing process, you're given revision after revision, and you have to keep proofing, keep making sure that everything's flowing. It can be a challenge. There was a time when I thought we were all done and wrapped up. We had loaded everything up to Amazon and whatnot. And I found an error that I felt was a critical error. And it was like, no. But the cool thing about it is, because of this digital world, 1106 was able to step in, and they said, Michael, it happens. And they helped me fix it, get everything loaded back up. And it was amazing.
I will definitely have to put 1106, I'll have to look up their information so I can put it into the show notes as well. But one thing I have found with a lot of these hybrid publishers is that they often do it much quicker than traditional publishing, because from your 3 months is pretty quick. Like from 3 to 6 months, it seems like with these hybrids, whereas traditional publishers, it can be up to 2 years from when you first submit your work. Is there anything that you would have changed from the editing to the publishing process?
Is there anything I would have changed? I feel like I made progress from when I wrote Antiquity and went through that process the first time. And then I moved on to The Pearl and went through it the second time. And I think I learned more in the aspect of editing, how to approach that in a better way, and to make more progress and just understanding how. I felt like I learned more about the internal design of the manuscript and how that process works, and how detailed and important that process is. When you pick up a book, when you're reading, you haven't gone through this process, you see this beautiful design on the inside of a book and you don't realize how much that takes. So I guess I would say I wouldn't change anything. I think that I had to go through all those learning curves to get better at it. But I think that's important, and that's the way you really, you know, grow. There's other things I might change in my life, but that specific question, I'd say no.
So you've already shared a little bit about what Gift of the Golden Pearl is about. What is Antiquity about?
Antiquity is about a computer game that can change events in time. So there can be, I think the rules were in the book, that there can be four players playing the game at any given time. And of course, when the kids first download, the young adults first download the game, they think it's a joke. But as they begin to play, they learn that they really can change events in time and all the complications that come along with that. And again, there's nefarious characters who can use that to their advantage. And so that sets up a lot of conflict and difficulty that these young adults have to tackle.
So that has kind of like a science fiction sort of element to it then.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Are you working on anything currently?
Yes, I've started working on another book. About, let's see, how can I sort of summarize it? It's about a young adult, a high school age kid whose parents pass away, and they don't want that child to have to be kind of pushed through the foster care system. And so they set him up to try to make it through his high school years to at least legal adulthood by himself, with just the resources they've given him, what they've taught him. And you can imagine that can be pretty tricky. And so it's going to lead to overcoming, as in my other stories.
Yes, that is actually a topic that is very near and dear to my heart. Is I actually was a foster mom for 7 years. My oldest, I adopted her through the foster care system. And just the challenges you have when you have that sort of hardships in early life. And then I've always wondered if me and my husband might revisit doing foster care once our youngest children are older, doing older kid adoption. I don't think we would do young kids adoption again, or not adoption, but foster care, excuse me, not adoption, foster care. Again, just because, you know, we've done that stage. We're 40 now. I think we're done with that stage. But I have wondered if we would try doing with teenagers.
I say God bless you, because the kids in this world need good parents and people who care about them. And hear again the bad stuff a lot of times about foster care. But I've recently heard a story about just great foster parents who made such a difference in children's lives. And now I hear you talking about it, and it just makes me feel great. So good on you.
I've had the privilege of, I think one of my favorite parts of foster care actually was getting to know the parents I know that sounds kind of weird because I think most foster parent, legal or foster parent and bio parent relationship is usually very strained. But in my circumstances, I ended up building a really good foundation with them. And actually, I'm still very close to two of my kids' foster parents. We still contact, we still get together. And I just went to one of their baby showers. So I think that is definitely a topic that needs to be brought up more in literature and just in general.
Oh,
But
good. Good. That's
anyway, it's
fantastic.
kind of a side stuff. But
That sounds
anyway,
good.
but I just wanted to thank you so much for being part of my podcast. But I do have a question I ask everybody. So I want to ask you,
Okay.
if you could give one piece of advice to a not yet published author, what would it be?
I guess I would say stick with it, because when you are by yourself in the middle of the night, struggling to make something work, to make a story work and to flow, and to take it from your thoughts and what comes to you in your mind all the way through to get to a published manuscript, it is a heck of a journey. And if you stick with it in those dark times when you want to close your laptop and give it up, if you stick with it, you can do it. Heck, I did it and I knew nothing about it. So other authors can do the same.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. And I just want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule with me. And I also want to thank my listeners for listening. If you are interested in either one of his books, they will be in the show notes. They are along with his website. And if you enjoyed this episode, you might also enjoy my interview with Elsie Khan, fantasy writer of Realm of the Dragons, or Shel Cypress, also fantasy author of Unmasking the Curse. Again, today I had the privilege of talking to Michael Xavier Boggins. He wrote Antiquity and Gift of the Golden Pearl, and you can find his website at michaelxavierboggins.com. And I just want to thank you one more time, Michael, for joining me today.
Hey, thank you, Angie. I really enjoyed it. And the best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Authors Alcove. We will be back next week on Wednesday, where we will have a writer share yet another piece of work. Also, every other Tuesday, we do learn from experts such as editors, marketing execs, book cover artists, illustrators, and more. If you are interested in being a guest on our show, feel free to go to authorsalcove.com, go to the podcast tab, and then click on Be a Guest. If you're looking for a healed heart, hop on over to our sister podcast, Strength, Love, and Healing with Authors Alcove. You can find that on Spotify and the Apple Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. Have a great day.